the Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday edition. You can be a part. Gets better up here with your calls at 844-967-2789. Fancy Brian, another legal update. Not the January 6th insurrectionist coup d'etat sort, not that sort of update. But Donald Trump's in legal hot water. And you'd never guess the reason. Well, you might guess, you know, there's lots of reasons. This one seems somewhat insignificant next to some of the others, but a grand jury has been convened to investigate Donald Trump's mishandling of classified documents. What about Hillary's emails? The New York Times reporting today, former President Donald Trump is facing another grand jury investigation. The Times reports that prosecutors have convened a grand jury to investigate Trump's mishandling of classified documents. That's going to sting, you know, in regards to the, what about Hillary's emails? He said it like a billion times. That he improperly removed the classified documents, that is, Trump improperly removed from the White House and brought them to his resort at Mar-a-Lago after his term ended. So, you know, the president can declassify whatever he wants by virtue of the presidency. But once you ain't president anymore, you can't take the documents to Mar-a-Lago with you. Here's a quote. In recent days, the Justice Department has taken a series of steps showing that its investigation has progressed beyond the preliminary stages. Prosecutors issued a subpoena to the National Archives and Records Administration, the NARA, to obtain boxes of the classified documents. The authorities have also made interview requests to people who worked in the White House in the final days of the Trump presidency, according to one of the people. Now, the Times notes that the charges, or that charges, are rarely brought in investigations into the handling of classified documents. Don't tell James Comey that. I mean, I know there were no charges against Hillary, but he certainly got some mileage out of it. The Times notes there's rarely charges against those, you know, handling classified documents, and that the DOJ typically conducts them, these sort of investigations, to determine whether any highly sensitive information, highly sensitive, just how sensitive the information in the boxes back at Mar-a-Lago might be, you know, so the intelligence community can take measures to protect sources and methods. You know, it wouldn't be beyond the former president to expose a spy, let's say. What if our assets, our resources worldwide, you know, let it drop to his buddy Kim Jong-un in one of the love letters post-presidency. The investigation into Trump's handling of classified documents came after the National Archives revealed that it had to go to Mar-a-Lago to obtain documents that were being requested by the House Select Committee. So these weren't just run-of-the-mill things. These were things specifically being requested by the J6 investigation, you know, of insurrection, a coup against democracy and the vice president. A little bit more here. The National Archives sent a letter to Congress back in February, which it confirmed that it has identified items marked as classified national security information within the boxes. Well, that's kind of bad, Trump. You know, the ones that Trump's got at Mar-a-Lago, that's the bad part. Now, the Supreme Court ruled that Trump could not shield January 6th related documents from the committee. No, he can't. So, if you believe the newest reporting at the New York Times, Trump's got another investigation to worry about. And I got to tell you, Fancy Brian, I've, you know, even good friends like James Santel, former U.S. attorney, and if I didn't invite him on tomorrow, you can feel assured. Somewhere between now and tomorrow, I'm going to invite Jim. But sometimes, late at night, Jim will text me, not a booty text, you know, more of a friendly, legal, litigious sort of text, and say, you know, Crudy, it's been 12,922 hours since the Mueller report detailed the obstruction of justice by the former president, something of the sort, and the, you know, the statute of limitations soon to expire. He's very troubled by this thought. And I assure my friend Jim Santel and others like him, we don't want to bust Trump on that stuff. That's all old and complicated and hard to explain to the public. But a coup against the government, overturning the peaceful transfer of power, targeting, literally having a mob target your vice president for violence or waterboarding or worse. I mean, I think the American people are going to get this eventually. Maybe not CJ, but, you know, the broader, smarter American people, they'll get it. They'll get it. And there's going to be an electoral price to pay. At least I strongly suspect. But what do I know? I just, you know, talk on the radio. 844-967-2789. Fancy Brian, you know what's super unpopular?
A lot of things.
Other than this conversation I'm trying to have, apparently. This and parade talk. And U.S. Senator Ron Johnson from the great state of Wisconsin. Ron, currently a bit of a dead man walking as an incumbent. Very unpopular in his home state. And Craig Gilbert, special to the Journal Sentinel. Apparently Craig has retired from his political reporting there. He's got a new submission. I think I should share some of this with the audience, since the bastards won't call on this bad topic. 844-967-2789. Doesn't matter how thin the gruel, you eat it, audience. See if they'll eat it. Anyways, let's talk about the unpopular Rojo. Republican Senator Ron Johnson, Dom's buddy, faces a Wisconsin electorate that's more negative towards him and more polarized over him than ever. He has lost significant ground in the past few years with key voting groups such as women, moderates, independents, suburbanites, people with a pulse, people with no pulse, anyone paying any attention whatsoever or no attention whatsoever. I think Ron is less popular with all those constituencies. Anyways, Ron is even less popular with voters in the once lopsided GOP stronghold of the WOW counties. You know, like the Shaw, Waukesha, one of the WOW counties, if you're unaware, Waukesha, Washington, and Ozaukee, you can figure out the order. The dividing lines over Johnson have deepened since he was last on the ballot in 16. The gap between how Republicans and Democrats view him was large then, but it's huge now. So the gap is between how conservatives and liberals view him. Now, the center's name recognition has grown to its highest levels, but the electorate has hardened around him. There are far fewer voters than in the past that are undecided about Rojo, which could make it harder for him to improve his image over the course of the campaign. To know him is to, you know, not especially like him, or at least that's what the polling would indicate. There are some takeaways from a detailed analysis of nearly a decade of polling on Johnson from the Marquette University Law School poll. These polling trends don't mean Johnson can't win this fall. Doesn't mean he can't. His race is expected to be very competitive. Voters will be measuring him against a Democratic opponent, but we won't know who that is until after the state's August partisan primary. And the two-term senator has real political strengths. Please, Craig, tell me, what are Rojo's political strengths? Well, here is what he lists. I agree with only one of these. Incumbency. And that's basically it. That's his strength. Incumbents almost always win. Incumbency, an enthusiastic GOP base, I guess, and the political tailwinds of running in a midterm election against the party of the president. Given the history of the midterms and Biden's negative job ratings, 2022 is expected by apparently Craig Gilbert and a few Republicans to be a good year for Republicans. For all these reasons, some nonpartisan analysts think Johnson has a better than even chance of getting reelected. Better than a coin flip? I think that's a stretch, but let me read on. But whatever strengths, and I'm putting air quotes around that, Johnson brings to his bid for a third term, his current standing with Wisconsin public poses some real perils, I'd say. Over the past year, Johnson has suffered through his longest and deepest period of unpopularity. Now, he's been unpopular before, but not for as long or as deep. He's deeply unpopular now. Over the past year, Johnson has suffered through his longest and deepest period of unpopularity in the Marquette polling since, you know, they began in early 2013, a stretch of 61 statewide polls. 61 polls later, Ron's getting worse. Combining the four surveys that Marquette has done over the past 9 months, 35%, let's make sure I get the math right. I'm great at math on the radio, Fancy. 35% of registered voters view Johnson favorably. 44% view him unfavorably, a net minus 9. Favorable, unfavorable. That's a benchmark we often look at, and is the candidate underwater? Now, Tammy Baldwin, she is significantly more popular than her congressional colleague, Ron Johnson. And if you didn't use the last four and maybe just use the last couple, Ron's more unpopular than this. I think he's at negative 13 in the most recent polling. Johnson has received his highest negatives ever. The share of voters who view him unfavorably in Marquette's last four polls. So that's not an anomaly or a rounding error, is what he's telling us here. Compared with his peak popularity in the pre-pandemic year of 2019, his average favorability rating was plus 10. The downturn is notable. So he's down something to the effect of 20, down 20 in favorable, unfavorable. That ain't so good, Ron. Here's a quote. There's such a striking decline, and it's a decline that has been sustained through 2020, 2021, and now into 2022. So it's not a short-term fluctuation, but a strong trend, according to pollster Charles Franklin, our buddy. Franklin provided the data, and as mentioned, he is a professor at the University of Marquette Law School. Here is a quote from Charles. And we see that downward movement across most of the groups we looked at. In that sense, I think we can be quite confident the decline is real. Oh, I'd say. But what we can't be confident about is whether it's reversible. For this analysis, Franklin and I, Craig Gilbert, examined Johnson's popularity with different demographics and political groups, men, women, old, young, liberal, conservative, urban, rural, suburban, you get it. Then we compared Johnson's current standing amongst these groups with two earlier periods. So they're doing some comparative stuff. And here, if you are, you know, let's just say not a fan of Rojo, here's the scary part. Rojo's been down before and still won re-election. One is the first word in the paragraph. Let me read the headline first. Johnson has come back before. One is that it illustrates how Johnson has come back from poor ratings before. His net favorability improved during the campaign year of 2016 from net negative to net positive. Johnson won his bid for a second term by 3 points over Democrat Russ Feingold. And I've got to apologize to the audience. I feel like in some way we, you know, extended a platform to Ron, although he did buy ads on the Devil's Advocate specifically back in 16, but we almost made him seem human. And for that, I apologize. He's not human. He's a cyborg. Compared to now, let's just say Ron's a lot less favorable. And the electorate, very polarized over Rojo. So anyways, we'll come back. We'll take more phone calls. We'll cast more shade on Rojo, perhaps. And, perhaps some other Republicans or Democrats. No one is above getting shade cast upon them. You know, it's a hot, sunny day. I'm like a groundhog here. If I see my shadow, I'm not coming back for like 3 segments. More Devil's Advocates on the other side. I'll be back pretty damn sure. You be here with me. Give me a reason to come back. 844-967-2789. And oh yeah, John. Damn Dom. I almost said something else. Joining at 5.
This tape will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
People are flushing toilets 10 times, 15 times.